Enjoy talking with Tom Lamott from the University Rehabilitation Services. He joins us. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Now, I see you have your badge, clipped your, you got the badge with your name and everything there.
Yes.
Do you ever leave work without it and spend half of your day and someone comes and finally says to you, you know, you still have your badge attached to your collar and you're
right,
ready
right.
to go?
Yes.
But it's one of those things that lets people know who works here and what you do.
Right, right.
Talk a little bit about some of that as with the rehabilitation. What are some of the aspects that you have over there?
Sure, sure. Well, we have three different sites within the system. We have one inpatient site at the hospital in Elyria, and then we have two outpatient clinics, one here at Avon and one in North Ridgeville. And we offer an array of services ranging from physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. So it's really nice that we can offer a broad spectrum of services to the community at large.
Is that a growing field, more of the rehabilitation? Sometimes people would get a procedure, a couple things, and then they're on their own. This whole rehabilitation, it seems to be a growing field of healthcare.
It is, absolutely. And both, or all three disciplines are very popular as far as careers are concerned in today's world. The baby boomers are getting older. There's more and more demand for services. Each year, it seems like new programs are popping up all over the country. It's a really good field to get into. There are jobs all over the place. You can cater your job to, you know, really what you want it to be, depending on where you are in your life. There are a lot of different therapists who will go full-time right out of school, but then later on they have families and whatnot, and they want to do things a little bit differently and go part-time or PRN, which is as needed. It's just really nice that you can pretty much do things differently depending on your needs at the time in your career.
Right before we went on, you mentioned that there are lots of specialties. Talk about those.
Absolutely. We have two orthopedic certified specialists here at Avon, as well as three manually certified therapists. They all come with very, very different skills. Not everybody has those types of skill sets. We're able to provide a higher level of service to our patients because of that. Our patients are incredibly satisfied because of those specialized skills, and these are not the kind of skills you'll get in your normal schooling when you go to school initially for one of those therapies. They have to be obtained later on when you go for advanced degrees.
A year ago, we had one of the therapists on, Casey.
Yes.
Who specializes on the hand, right?
She's a certified hand therapist, correct.
And do you remember what we learned from her? What was the one thing you took away? And tell me, if you can't remember, shame on you. Never cut a bagel with a knife, holding a bagel in your hand.
Oh.
She says, don't you remember she said? What happens? She goes, well, people cutting like bagels and they end up with some hand laceration because of that.
Right.
You don't know how many times I've picked up a bagel and a knife and I'm thinking, Casey.
Why would you do that? I can't imagine doing that.
Well, just because of that, you're just standing, you're doing that, you're cutting something. You use your hand sort of as the cutting board. And most of the time you're good at knowing when to stop, but distractions, things, a sharper knife, a looser bagel, things can happen like that.
Right, so, right. And certified hand therapists are so rare in today's world. They're very hard to find. Casey is a spectacular therapist. She's been able to provide a much higher level of service to our patients than we ever had before. It's so nice to actually have someone like her here at Avon because we didn't have occupational therapy for many years before her arrival.
Where does all that training specialized come from? We know with medicine there's always research being done. What on the PT side, how does that come from? I've heard in other places sometimes other countries work on different things because ever they have different concerns or they're able to bring things. So it's a world global kind of a
sure.
knowledge.
Well, you see a need. You know, basically these specialties have arisen from a need for services. There are patients who come in with very complex diagnoses. They're not able to be treated just by the average skill level therapist. They need a higher level of skill. So basically, these patients who are very complex and in the past haven't been really sufficiently or satisfactorily treated, needed something higher. And so the therapy schools will basically develop these programs to make sure that they equip the therapists in the world with the right skills in order to effectively treat the patients.
And, of course, there must be then a need with anything, usually with medicine. If there's a high demand, there's more people focusing on it than if it's something that's really rare or unique, but every individual, any kind of therapy they needed, to them, it's A number one. It's important. So right. You kind of do your best to guide Absolutely. Them in the way they need to do that.
Correct. And one of the things that we really focus on here at in Avon North Ridgeville is that one-on-one personalized care. We're a huge believer in the patient-centered care philosophy of treatment. In the past, therapists would detect a deficit in a patient, whether it be a range of motion or strength deficit, and just automatically formulate goals to address those deficits. And that's all well and good from the therapist's perspective, but it's got to mean something to the patient. So, for example, if a patient comes in, let's say it's a tennis player, and the patient isn't able to use that right arm to play tennis, well, then it's on the therapist's responsibility to develop a personalized treatment plan that will target that patient's deficit so that the patient can get back to actually playing tennis and doing the things they want to do. That way, the patient's going to buy in a little bit more into that therapy protocol and do their home exercise program and get them back to doing the activity they love.
You almost have to go to a cheerleading school, in a sense, to be able to encourage the person, get enough motivation, because that's
right.
a key to therapy, right?
Absolutely. If it's not meaningful to the patient, it's not going to work. When they come to therapy, immediately from the first get-go, you've got to make that impression to the patient that you are there to help them, you are there to get them back to doing what they want, and helping them achieve their personal goals.
If someone wants to go into that field, where's a good place to start?
Sure. Basically, you want to take a lot of science courses, essentially, as in preparation for school, whether it be physics, chemistry, biology. Those are all really good school or courses to start with. But you also take some social science courses, such as sociology and psychology. So those are all good background courses. But if you do want to just start at the very lowest level and volunteer in an outpatient clinic, that is the best thing you could possibly do to really get a feel for what kind of environment an outpatient clinic is like and whether or not you're really going to enjoy working in a clinic. That's essentially what I did many, many years ago. And after my volunteer experience, I was totally sold on the field.
You get to see your results, too, from sometimes when somebody comes in immobilized in some sort and to a point where you realize, hey, look, we've been able to progress. You can now do something you couldn't do when you first came here.
Correct. And it's one of those very rewarding fields where you can actually see that improvement in a patient, especially on an outpatient basis. You're seeing some of these patients for weeks on end. They come in at a very debilitated level. They're able to gain significant amount of progress in a however length of time that they're there. By the time they're discharged from therapy, they are light years from where they were when they started therapy. You formed a very close bond with that patient, and they're very thankful to you. And it's just so nice to see a patient come in and possibly very emotional from their limited level at the very get-go. But then when they leave therapy, they're so thankful, and it's just really great to see that over and over again with so many of our patients.
I've seen therapy places, sometimes a lot of colorful. There's stretchy bands, there's balls, there's steps, there's things like that. Right. What's the coolest or high-tech thing that you think that you have in one of your facilities that you think, wow, this is a really unique item to be able to use?
Sure. There's so many different types of equipment that we use. I mean, it runs the gamut, and we have a lot of very neat high-tech devices that we use, whether it be Nautilus equipment or balance equipment. It's hard to pinpoint one thing, I would say, that it just is so incredible. But something we use on a regular basis to measure strength in patients is what we call a dynamometer. And it basically is a device that you press up against their lower extremity or upper extremity, and it measures the pounds per square inch by resisting kicking a knee leg out or resisting straightening the arm or bending it. And it's just really cool how you can actually quantify that strength into a number that this dynamometer registers.
And that gives you something to work with, because if you have numbers,
Correct.
Then you can kind of see something that shows progress that maybe you can't physically sort of
see. That's exactly right. You're able to make it more objective so that when you're setting goals for the patient, you can see someone was only able to produce maybe a 20 in their knee extension, but then when they leave, they're at 79.
We need one of those.
What?
Don't you think it'd be cool to have one of those around the office?
Look, there's so much medical equipment that would be so cool to have. The price tag on it, though, sometimes puts us out of reach for that.
The only word of caution is that when you use that with the football players of the world, and as you can imagine, they're incredibly strong, you have to really brace yourself before you're trying to resist knee extension, because they can blow you away from the table.
As well, yes. And we've seen on the internet the dangers of using those giant big balls, the exercise balls, two of them people running together with each other. That's not saying
anything. I don't think that's what we're talking
about here. No, but you never know. The stretchy bands, those are kind of a neat type of thing, too, and the great colors that they come in, too. Tom Lamotte, our guest from the UH Rehabilitation Services, thanks for stopping by. It's always good to chat with you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
See what's new here. Of course, we are at the Avon Center for Health and Fitness, so they cover both ends of it, people staying in shape, people coming here to rehabilitate any injury or whatnot. But